Welcome, everyone, to Heartbeat Theater. This is the sound of trouble. It will strike relentlessly, with unerring accuracy, at all men, everywhere in the world, sometime in their life. To meet this challenge, wherever it strikes, whatever its nature, an ever-vigilant corps of men and women stand ready to do battle. The soldiers of the Salvation Army, with heart to God and hand to man. From Hollywood, the Salvation Army presents Heartbeat Theater. Stories of the widespread, vital, and necessary work of the dedicated men and women of this worldwide organization. This is your host, C.P. McGregor, inviting you to be our guest for the next half hour. A prime consideration for a good salesman is that he must himself be sold on a product before attempting to sell it to others. With this in mind, we meet in our story this week Major Cruz of the Salvation Army, who was thoroughly sold on his product, and Mike Loomis, a salesman who couldn't even sell himself. Robert McKenzie wrote the story, titled Birth of a Salesman, and Jay Johnston stars as Major Cruz. Here's Act One of Birth of a Salesman.
Major, sober, but otherwise the same old lovable Mike Loomis.
Hello, Mike.
Hi, Major Cruz.
Same thing this time, Sergeant?
Yep, drunk and disorderly. Nothing serious. We found him down on 3rd Avenue last night around midnight, singing a song to the alley cats. He was making more noise than they were.
I see.
You want him?
Well, I think Mike and I should have a little talk first. You think so, Mike?
Yeah, I guess so.
Use the other room over there. I'll see you later, Major.
Well, thanks for the call, Sergeant.
Anytime. Stick with the Major this time, Mike.
Come on, Mike. Let's talk. Sit down, Mike. Did you lose your job?
Yeah, I thought I had it like this time, Major. I really did. I just couldn't help myself.
I know. Well, that's why I suggested you're not leaving the center 2 months ago. You weren't ready yet to admit that you couldn't do it all by yourself.
Well, what happens now? This is the second time I've let you down like this.
You want to come back with me and we'll try again?
You take me back a third time?
I think it's worth it. But the result will be the same unless you seek divine help. Now, what do you say?
Yes, sir. I won't let you down this time, Major.
That's a promise?
It's a promise.
All right. Let's go see the sergeant and get you out of here. Well, Mike, I'm sure you're familiar with the routine here by now. You're not obliged to stay. You may leave any time. But in view of what happened the last two times, I'd give staying here some pretty serious thought. And if anything's bothering you, come and see me anytime and we'll talk about it. Okay? Oh, see that fellow sitting against the wall over there?
You mean that grouchy-looking guy, the one that's whittling?
Yes. He's a new man. One of your dorm mates. He's European. German, I think. His name's Dieter Hess. He hasn't made many friends yet. You might go over and introduce yourself. He looks like he'd be glad of a little company.
Yeah, sure, okay.
Well, I've got to get back to the office. I'll see you later.
Okay, Major.
And just remember, this time you're going to make it. Right?
Yes, sir.
Well, that sounds more like the confident Mike Loomis we're looking for. But I'll see you later.
Thank you. you, Hess. Where is your inventory on that last load? There was supposed to be a couch, but I don't see one anywhere. Hey, Dieter! Oh, fuck. Hey, look, Bud, can't you ever stop whittling for Pete's sake? What about that inventory on the last load?
What inventory?
The sheet you're supposed to fill out when the trucks come in. Like this.
Huh? I don't make those out.
What do you mean you don't make those out? That's your job, isn't it?
I am not a clerk. Make it out yourself.
How can I make it out when I'm unloading the truck? You're supposed to be doing that. But all you gotta do is sit around and whittle? Honest work too good for you?
You want trouble with me, mister?
What?
This is stupid work. I will not do it. I am not a charity case. What I do is mind my own business. Now you leave me alone or we have trouble.
Well, I've had about as much of you as I'm gonna take.
You don't listen to me. I've won you.
All right. Cut it out, both of you. Mr. Hess, I'd appreciate it if you'd help Mr. Johnson over there unloading the truck. Mike, come into my office, please.
Yeah, but...
Right now, please. All right, have a seat, Mike. I've got a little coffee brewing, if you'd like some.
No. Thanks, Major.
Hey, come on, simmer down, simmer down. It's over and done with.
Oh, that guy gives me a pain. Who does he think he is?
Well, I'm afraid Dieter's problem just now is that he doesn't know who he is. And that can be a pretty serious problem. Now, let's change the subject and talk about you. You sure about that coffee?
Well, maybe a half a cup.
Good. I thought you'd probably have some. Already had it poured.
You know me pretty well, don't you, Major?
Well, right now, I imagine I know you better than you do. And while that's all right for now, it shows that you've got some hard work ahead of you to catch up with me.
I'll say.
Well, Mike, it's been 2 weeks. How are you getting along?
Well, I guess I'm doing fine, Major. I don't know.
Troubles?
No, not really. I mean, here, everything's fine. I feel like I did the last time. I know the guys, and I can talk to them. And I can talk to you. But, every time I think about working on the outside, I break out in a cold sweat.
Well, what do you think you're going to do the next time? Same thing? Same mistakes?
Well?
You are going to try again, aren't you?
Oh, I don't know, Major. Maybe it's just not worth the effort.
Oh?
Well, let's face it, I've failed twice.
Well, maybe you're right.
What?
Well, as you say, you've tried twice. Couldn't make it either time. Probably be pretty much the same from here on out.
Well, it wouldn't have to be. With a little help. A little push. I could do it.
All right. That's more like it. Now we can get down to cases.
What do you mean?
What I've tried to get across to you the last time. First, we both know that you can do it. Second, we both know that you can't do it all by yourself. And third, we both know where to go for the help you need. Is that right?
Yes,
and
right.
You told me that you want to be helped. Mike, that's half the battle. But only half. The $64 question is, are you willing to work for that help? And I mean work.
Well, I guess...
Now, no guessing, Mike. You've got to know. I'm not trying to sell you miracles. I'm trying to convince you that if you can accept God as your constant companion, you accept the fact that His strength and power and love can be yours, too. Because as a man, you reflect your Creator. And if you'll let Him guide you in everything you undertake, there isn't anything in the world that you can't do through Him. I know this. I believe this with every fiber of my being, because I've seen God's power work hundreds of times. It can work for you.
Well, you sure make it sound good, Major.
Believe me, it is good, Mike. But don't take my word. Try it. Find out for yourself. What do you say?
Okay. You know, you're still the best salesman I've ever met.
Well, why not? I've got the best product in the world. All right, Mike, let's go to work. We've got things to do.
Okay, grab the other end, Hess. Come on, will ya?
I will not do this stupid work.
What? All right, bud, I've had enough of you. On your feet. Now, you listen to me, and you listen hard. I don't care who you are or where you've been or what your trouble is. You're not going to sit around here and carve up a piece of wood while the rest of us do the work.
Leave me alone.
Why? You somebody special or something? Are you any different from the rest of us?
I don't want anything to do with the rest of you. Well,
free ride or not, bud, you're going to stick with us until you decide to leave. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. It's taken a long time for it to soak in, but I think I finally got it straight. If you want anything in this life, and that includes room and board, you gotta work for it. You gotta try. There just isn't any other way. Now, you and I are gonna unload this truck.
No.
Yes. You're gonna try whether you want to or not. And then when that's done, we're going into the dining room and I'm gonna buy you a cup of coffee. If you feel like talking, we'll talk. If you don't, we won't. Okay?
Oh. Okay.
Good. Now get on that truck.
That was the first act of Birth of a Salesman, starring Jay Johnston as the Major. We've met some very real people in our first act, people whose existence and habits of living defy our modern civilized world, but who are still there all the same. The Salvation Army provides one answer for these people, the down-and-outers, the sick, the lost men of the world, and that is their men's social service centers. These centers, located in every major city in the United States, and many foreign cities as well, are a refuge for these men. Through a program of physical and spiritual rehabilitation, the Army challenges these men to face life, accept its problems, and overcome them. Their success is measured by the thousands who have left them, happy and useful citizens. All it costs you are your discards of old clothing, furniture, and appliances. The program itself is self-sustaining. Now, Birth of a Salesman, Act Two.
Come on, Dieter, finish that cigarette and let's go to work. With a breakfast like that, you'll go to sleep if you don't stay on your feet.
Yeah.
Nag, nag, nag. Just like a wife.
Pass!
All right. I come.
Oh, Mike, can I see you for a moment? Good morning, Mr. Pass.
Good morning, Major.
Mike, I'd like to talk to you for a moment.
Oh, sure. Dieter, why don't you go ahead and start looking over that furniture that came in yesterday, see what we can salvage and what we'll have to take to the dump.
Well, all right. But you come soon, huh?
Sure, right away.
I don't know whether you've had anything to do with it, Mike, but there's certainly been a big improvement in Dieter's attitude.
Oh, well, we had a little talk a few weeks back and cleared the air a bit. He's not such a bad guy when you get to know him.
Now, one of the greatest satisfactions in my life has been the knowledge that that's true of practically everybody.
Yeah, I guess so. He didn't tell me much about himself, but he's had a pretty rough time. He's been a drifter most of his life.
Yeah, that's about all he's told me.
I think his main trouble is that he's just plain lonely. Mm-hmm. You see, he has no family, at least not anymore. No friends, nothing. So we've been kind of working together.
Well, you've done more for him than the rest of us have been able to accomplish. And for that, I'm very grateful to you, Mike.
Well, it isn't anything, Major, but it does make me feel like I'm doing something worthwhile.
You're learning, Mike. You're learning. And that's partly what I wanted to talk to you about.
Yeah.
Would you speak at chapel on Wednesday?
Me? Oh, well, I'm no speaker. I wouldn't know what to say.
What, you, the world's finest salesman?
Yeah, but, Major, it's been a long time. No, I don't think I could do it. All those guys out there watching me.
Mike, no. Have you been aware of a change in yourself these last few weeks? Have you noticed, for instance, that the work isn't quite as tedious? That it's become easier to get along with the other men? That your outlook has become a bit more positive?
Yes.
Do you have any ideas about what's made that change?
Yes, I think so.
Has it been entirely your doing, or have you had help?
No, sir, I've had help.
So what I told you a while ago about wanting and asking and trying really works, doesn't it?
It sure does.
It always does. I've seen an obvious change in you in these last few weeks. Something that wasn't there the last time you were here. Now, Mike, I don't want to force you into anything, but the other men here need the encouragement you can give them to know that God will help them, too. That he's not just words from an old book, but a very real spiritual power. I think it's important that they hear this from one of their own.
Yes, Major, but I don't think I'm ready for something like this yet. Maybe in a couple of more weeks.
Well, consider how far Dieter Hess has come with just a little encouragement from you. Now, think about it for a couple of days, will you, Mike? And just remember, you've come this far, and if you continue on this way, you can go as far and do as much as you want. There's no limit. Well, you'd better get out there with Dieter before he thinks that you've deserted him completely.
Yeah, okay, Major. And thanks for asking anyway.
Well, you think it over, Mike. You may find yourself up there yet.
Scared? You never saw anybody so scared in all your life. My knees were shaking like they were trying to beat each other to death. My mouth was full of cotton. All you guys sitting out there looking at me. I mean, man, it was really tough.
Yeah, you look very pale.
Funny thing, though. Just before I started to talk, all of a sudden I was calm. The knees stopped knocking, and I wasn't nervous anymore.
Don't you feel foolish standing in front of all those men and talking such nonsense? Do you think they believe what you say?
I believed it. About them? I don't know. I think some of them did. I think all of them want to.
Then they are fools. How can they hope to find a God where none exists?
Huh?
Look up into the sky and what do you see? Empty space. Look at the ground. You see dirt. That is all there is to this life. A man survives or he does not. And what difference does it make, one way or the other?
Hey, dear, what kind of talk is that?
It makes me sick, all this talk of a God, wise and merciful and loving. Where is this God? I have never found him.
Well, have you ever looked?
Yeah. Once, many years ago, I looked while men were destroying my world around me. I looked, I asked. I prayed until I had to flee for my life. I don't look anymore. I don't need God. I take care of myself.
You call being here taking care of yourself? You call being a bum, a drifter, a nothing, taking care of yourself?
It is enough for me.
Is it really? As what kind of a man are you anyway?
You accept a bed and food from the Salvation Army, and then you call them stupid because they want to help you. You accept my friendship, and then you call me a fool because I believe that God is making me a better man.
Oh, Mike, I am sorry. I did not mean that.
I don't think you know what you mean. I don't understand you. You like this kind of life you're living?
What else is there for me? Now look at me. I'm 55 years old. I am nothing.
Well, is that the way you want it to be?
It's too late.
It's not too late. Not with God's help and a little effort on your part. That's why the Salvation Army takes in guys like us and tries to help us. Because it's never too late. Even if you are 55 years old.
No.
Look, why don't you, just for once in your life, why don't you stop saying no and try? You're not alone. Like the Major told me, there's a million guys like you and me, all banging our heads together looking for something. When all the time it's right under our noses or above our heads. You said you looked for God a long time ago and you couldn't find him. Well, Dieter, try looking again, right now, and tomorrow, and the next day. Don't stop trying until you find him. And you will. I know. I really shot my mouth off that time, didn't I?
Yeah. But I'm glad you did, sir. I needed this very much.
Well, sure you did. We all do once in a while. But believe me, it's better than just sitting around whittling, huh?
Yeah.
Hey. Come to think of it, I haven't seen you with your whittling the last few days. How come?
I finished what I was working on.
Oh, yeah? What was it?
It's over there on that old chest. The one I made you break that time when I would not help you. Remember?
Oh, yeah, but that chest was too far gone, Dieter. We couldn't do anything with it. We were going to take it to the dump.
Oh, nine. It is old and battered, yeah, but it was a beautiful piece of furniture once. It can be restored. I carved a new leg for it.
You what? Well, I'll be... Dieter, that's beautiful. That's fantastic work. Where did you learn to carve like that?
Well, in my country, as a young man, I did this kind of work.
And you never did any of it since?
Oh, just for amusement. In this country, everything is made by machines. There's no room for this kind of work.
Well, I got news for you. Times have changed. People are buying this homemade stuff like crazy now. Well, there's a dozen places you could find work. Well, with this talent, you could probably go into business for yourself.
There's a need for...
You bet there's a need. Listen, I want Major Cruz to see this. Boy, he'll flip. He'll have some ideas for you. It's funny.
What is funny?
I was just thinking. It really does work out, doesn't it? For every need, there's an answer. If you look hard enough for it.
I don't know. Maybe you're right, after all.
Well, brother, you're looking at one of the best salesmen on the coast. If I say it's right, if the Major says it's right, then it's got to be right. After all, you can't sell a product unless you're convinced it's the best there is. And take it from me, this is the best. Come on, let's go find the Major. We got to see a man about a job or two.
That was the final act of Birth of a Salesman, starring Jay Johnston as Major Cruz. Also featured were Jack Edwards as Mike and Edgar Barrier as Hess. Be sure to be with us again next week for another Heartbeat Theater story. A presentation of the Salvation Army, Heartbeat Theater is produced in Hollywood and is broadcast overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Service. Until next week, this is your host, C.P. McGregor, saying thanks for listening, and have a happy week ahead.